The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Hey, listen.
Is that fine? Can I do that? Can we have started?
You've done it. I don't know what to
Everybody,
say now.
Everybody, welcome to not two upsmanship, not one downsmanship, not one ups person ship, not one upsman boat, but in fact, one upsmanship. If you parse that, it all kind of worked. I'm Michael
Swain. Together. I'm Adam Ganser.
High
Very impressed.
Score achieved. And we make video game references that date us terribly. There aren't even scores in, I would say, 99% of games now. Platinum trophy unlocked. Anyway, it's the video game podcast. Let's do it. Boom. And see, that's where I'd press a button if we had a soundboard that would go to like slick radio, you know, audio.
Or graphics. An eagle scream or something like that.
That's right. And Adam, we're not alone. Would you kindly introduce...
No.
Our ride along this episode.
Well, I've always believed in aliens, if that's what you're referring to. But if you mean our guests.
I do. One of our favorites.
Our beloved guests, many times on this podcast, Vanessa Gritton is here with us.
Yay! I'm here! thrilled to be here. I've been playing so much video games because I guess I have time now.
I've been playing so much video game because Cyberpunk came out, but that's not this episode. Have you been playing a variety of games?
Yeah, actually.
Good for you.
I feel like I've just been playing through everything that I've like missed, indie games that just look appealing to me. I think I just went through like 2 years of having no time for video games other than one at a time. And this is the first time in which like my husband and I have like all of the consoles that we could possibly want. So it's just like an embarrassment of riches. Nothing is inaccessible to me. Therefore, I play everything for like 30 minutes because I have a weird attention span.
So you were game edging for 2 years, and your lovely husband helped you over the threshold. That's wonderful. What have been the big standout stars of like this onrush, this binge, if you will? Or does anything immediately come to mind as like these three were incredible?
There's a few. I mean, he showed me Carrion, which is one that I've been wanting to play.
I haven't played that.
God, I love me a horror game, but I'm just gonna admit it to myself now. I love horror games, but like anytime there's a jump scare element, I'm just too much of a wiener to play through the way I want to, because I'm too tense. I'm too tense the whole time. So anything where I get to be like the villain or the monster and have like a semblance of control, I'm pretty happy about. So that was one that I really loved.
For the listener, Carrion is, I believe, 16-bit.
Yeah.
It looks like nothing. So you are a wiener. But continue. Yeah.
Essentially. Like, it looks like nothing. It looks like nothing. So you mostly just, like, tear apart monsters, which is fine. And, like, in general, I like horror elements or when something is, like, creepy or spooky. But anytime I tried playing, like, Slenderman-type games where something would pop out at me, just not my bag, as much as I would like it to be. I've played, like, a few remasters of stuff that I've just been wanting to, like, come back to and I hadn't to. Spirit Walker was one that I really didn't expect to like, but boy, oh boy, did I, like, fall in love with that pretty quickly. Or Spirit Waker.
Really? I know. Is it Spirit Farer is the only one I know.
Spirit Farer, that's it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that game's amazing, right? That game is so good.
I love that game so much. I went in.
I was hoping
being
you meant
like,
Spirit Farer. Yeah.
Yeah, Spirit Farer. I went in thinking, like, oh, cool. You know, I'll play this for like 20, 30 minutes to pass some time. Was sold by the gorgeous animation. And then, like, anytime it would go from like lighthearted conversation about animals to like talking about what happens at end of life.
Yeah, like a cartoon bison is like, of course, that was before I lost the leg in that factory accident. And you're like, shut up, he's talking human talk. He's talking about his earth life. Yeah, Spirit Fair is very, yeah, we can't get too much into it, but interesting game. Super good.
I love it a lot. And like, I think I used to be someone that a lot of the games that I played was like, well, what are all my friends talking about now? And I've just kind of fallen in love with like smaller games that maybe aren't like hot or buzzy, but I can just kind of like sit and follow a story for a little bit. So it's been really nice. I've missed being able to jump into gaming like this.
Absolutely. All right. Well, now the guests can orient on your taste a little bit. Two of your favorite games from the last 2 years. And through that lens, Adam, get us back on track, would you?
Sure. Well, today we're going to be talking about a game that sort of expands past most people's taste into what I would call a cultural icon, and that is Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 Plus 2. Boy, this made my quarantine much better for a good week and a half.
So what actually, I know, I guess it doesn't matter, but what is the official title? Is it THPS 1 Plus 2 Remake? Is that
I guess. I mean, it's never called Remake. I think it's just...
It wasn't called Remake officially. Okay. It's not like FF7 Remake?
No, I don't think so. I think the reason we're just going to call it THPS 1 plus 2.
I'm just going to call it Tony Hawk.
I'm going to call it Thups.
It's going to... That'll be great all episode for us to do that bit. It's going to be sort of an omnibus for us to talk about episodes like both 1 and 2, which, by the way, for those of you who are fans of this podcast, you should know this is about the 170th time we've tried to record a podcast about Tony Hawk 2.
Talk about jump times? Scares. I'm terrified for the fate of this episode technologically. Yeah.
Like, if you, you know, if
we're
if recording a podcast,
the rail of failure as we record,
we
man.
Have bailed many times, many times.
No, we've fully completed whole hour plus long conversations.
Yeah.
Get this. Because a lot of times we lose episodes. It goes with the territory of churning out a bunch of podcasts. But we usually lose them and we're like, oh, we're 18 minutes in and we lost it. Oh, well, you want to start over or whatever the fuck. This one we've recorded. There was a time and place where for the second time we pretended to have interest. Like we said the same things over again for an hour, getting the energy up as best we could. So then we paused for a long time and we decided rather than covering Tony Hawk 2, which it actually nominally was a Tony Hawk 2 episode, we'd wait for the 1 plus 2, baby. So for those who are unfamiliar, Tony Hawk Pro Skater, well, we'll do the speed run. We'll leave that to that. But 1 plus 2... is a packaging, a full remaster, re-release, repackage of the classic games, PS1 games, PS2 games, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2.
I think they're both, I think they're on 1 and they were cut, 2 was on 2 also, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I'm going to leave that to our speed run.
Yeah, I was dangerously close to doing it for her and she doesn't deserve that.
It's, no, yeah. she can definitely hold her own. So
she's union,
if
she'll fuck you up.
She'll sue us. She'll sue us. So, Vanessa, do you feel like manualing your way through this combo and getting us all the way to the rant? What do you think?
I definitely do.
Okay, great. Whenever you're ready.
All
right. Start the clock.
I think it's the first time I've ever done a speedrun without actually hearing the clock.
I always throw them off with start the clock.
You do, yeah. You jar them and then like, oh God, now what?
It's great.
Now it's just by the speed of me, baby. So anyways.
It's still ticking, darling. You way behind.
One Plus Two is a remaster, re-release of a game that definitely shaped most of us that are now in our 20s and our 30s. In my opinion, I think it's a beautiful remaster because not only does it feel just like the original game, but it's more intuitive. There's a lot of lovely little updates, although I take a lot of objection with the fact that it definitely doesn't have a lot of its grime or like punky feelings that the first two games had, or even Underground. It feels like a little bit more cleaned up, kind of like me. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 Plus 2 feels like visiting an old friend from high school that kind of like got their shit together, but like they're still cool and they have the stick and poke tattoos that they had before.
Wow.
I like the sudden end to
so
that.
Abruptly, I yeah. didn't stop the clock, so the whole time is invalidated. So there you go, you're saved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time is irrelevant.
That's great. Yeah. And a flat circle, and we're in a loop that will never end. I understand.
Mm-hmm. Much like Tony Hawk himself?
Yeah.
No, I have nothing.
I'm
but
just
that
a
was
snake
kind
chomping
of a,
on that tail, baby.
That was like a speed rant. That was a speed run sort of comboed with a...
It was very subjective.
No,
yes, it was a very subjective rant.
Well, it had fundamental insights into the nature of the thing all bundled up into it, which I...
It did.
Yeah. I like it.
If you've managed to never play Tony Hawk, I can't imagine you're listening to this podcast.
Who are you?
But who are you? I'd like to meet you. Actually, I wouldn't, but DM Mike if you'd like to meet somebody. but if you somehow don't know what this is, it's the original like 3D skating simulator. It's a third-person game. And this is a remaster of a game that came out in 1999, so it's basically 21 years old. That's when the first one came out. So I'm just, you know, those are just the basic facts. Mike, should we move on to the rant? What do you think?
Sounds like it, brother.
Ooh. I like the challenge in your voice.
I like
I
the
fucking love this.
Well, I called Vanessa darling earlier, which felt very off-brand and patronizing. So I was like, I have to call him something.
Yeah, you gotta squish him too.
Yeah. So everyone
like it.
Knows it's a bit.
I often
get ready
feel
for a fucking six score.
Like
get
a
ready
darlin'
for it.
Or a dumplin', so I appreciate it.
Oh, dumplin'.
Ooh, dumplin'.
Dumplin's endearing. I'm fine
with
that.
I'll never call you that, but I'll think it in my heart in a positive way, I hope.
Hey, who's saying first this old bear, or as I'm going to call you for the rest of this episode?
Dumplin'.
Skate daddy. No, you're skate daddy, dude. I saw your stream. For people who don't know, Adam Ganser also streams on Twitch and played plenty of this game.
I did,
for all to see. And he threw blood, sweat, and tears earned the name Skate Daddy, so we'll be honoring that for this hour.
Thank you. Sheesh. I didn't think it would transmit this far, but it has, and
it's
I'm proud of
dumpling.
It.
You want to rant first?
I do, yeah. Player one plugging in. Tony Hawk is the only skating game that matters. Don't put skate in front of me. Fuck you. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2... are what a teenager delights in when it first came out. They're one of the only games that people who don't play video games play. Like, this is one of the 10 games that have come out at all time that people who don't care about video games probably owned and played. Like, this is like GoldenEye, this is like Mario, this is, you know, this is that level of game. I just to briefly talk about the remaster, they got it perfect. I would say this is a perfect remaster. They didn't change anything that needed to be changed. They made no subjective decisions that were dumb. They didn't cut any content that we wanted to keep. They allowed the levels to be dumb in the ways they used to be dumb. They allowed the motion and physics to stay the way they were. There were songs missing, but you know, hey, that's just how life goes. What can you do? I liked what they did with some of the downhill levels that were, by the way, I hate them. I hate the downhills. fuck the downhills a little bit, except for I like the mall visually this time.
Yeah, speak to that.
Yeah, so I just don't, like, the one that's at the aqueduct or whatever it is, that's from, like, where you're just, like, you know, skating around pipes, that one just ruins your combos every time. And, like, it's not built in such a way that you can, like, get all the treats in one run, which is my dream. My dream is to, like, every Tony Hawk to, like, knock out every single objective in one run, because then I feel like, man, I sure did hawk that fucking thing. And you can't on those downhills. At least I can't. Some troll probably can do it. Congratulations. But I don't just to put this on a macro scale, this is probably by hours spent one of my top three games of all time. It has to be.
That's madness.
It has to be. Like, not this remaster, but this franchise. And I include the first two. Because I played with my brother. We used to, like, sit around when we were just moved out of our parents' place and had our own apartment. We'd get home. We were poor because, you know, we were working as a clerk and a fucking restaurant waiter. And so we had Tony Hawk. That's what we would play. And we would, like, okay, try to get a million points on Tokyo, because we had Tony Hawk 3. Try to get a million points on downhill. And that's what we would do. And it was fucking awesome. This game managed to not in any way ruin that. They added new skaters. They were all very cool skaters. I was pumped about that. And that's really all I have to say for this rant.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. I think we've forgotten to come up with a bit for checkpoints, did we?
Well, I mean, they're so obvious what they're going to be, right?
I guess as long as we just reset every 2 minutes.
I mean, they're all going to be grind that wall for that bell. Grind the wall for the bell.
You kind of got all the low-hanging fruit jokes about combos and grind. I think we're done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything else will be ornithological references. But
you can Christ stare to the next checkpoint. Yeah. If you'd prefer.
I'll Superman. Yeah.
Or you can give someone lip.
I'll ollie over it.
Oh, Vanessa. Love it.
Vanessa, would you mind ranting next? And in case you're remembering as we do this, the rant is more of your subjective opinion about the... I mean, Adam did it. You get it.
Yeah.
But first, because inspired by Adam's rant, I want to ask, and I'll answer this when it comes my time, if it was by franchise, because I think that's more interesting than single game, because single game's a way to just say a game you love. But if it was by franchise, what do you think you've logged the most hours within? What franchise of games?
Honestly, if it's franchise, it's... Is it Tony Hawk? I'm thinking about it, because, like, I've played a ton of BioShock, even the second one, a lot more.
Wow.
The first and third, like, way more. So if we're going by franchise, how much have I played BioShock versus Resident Evil? I think in order of...
Wait, I thought you didn't like jump scares. Your top two games are BioShock and Resident Evil?
Not quite. Okay. Those I don't mind. I think more than anything...
You claim to be a wiener.
I'm a wiener, but not that kind of wiener.
It's a different kind of wiener. Yeah.
I think it's because a lot of modern jump scares in horror are usually, like, more POV, and I think it's also usually from, like, a cell phone or a camera, and that adds a level of terror to a jump scare with me, because somebody worded this for me in the best way possible. Anytime something is POV via, like, a cell phone or a camera, which is very popular now, it scares me more because it feels like a violation of audience trust in, like, both the best way possible in executing a scare, but also, like, it fucks me up. Because you trust that nothing weird's going to happen in a camera or a cell phone. And I think a lot of modern horror games use technology, so the jump scares fuck me up more. Versus, like, Resident Evil or BioShock, where it's just like, oh, I'm a guy in a game. So I think that's the extra element that I have to add. But I'm going to say... The games that I've logged the most hours in are probably the BioShock franchise and the Tony Hawk franchise.
Wow. I'm glad I asked. Tony Hawk's super well represented on this episode. That's phenomenal. Yeah. All right, so what's your rant on Thips 1 Plus 2?
On Thips 1 Plus 2, like, I've played all of them. It was so big for me because I grew up in Orange County where skate culture was king, but I was like the only kid that couldn't skate. So most of the ways that I found a way to hang out with all my friends that did skate was making skate videos. And then eventually Tony Hawk, because it was like, haha, now I'm in the game. I love this game, but I do have a few issues with it, and they're real arbitrary. The first one is I miss the blood. I really do miss the blood. I miss some of the staining that you would also see in Tony Hawk's Underground. I do realize that, like, there are a lot of younger players that want to jump into it now, but I miss it being a toggle option. For a lot of the games that I played as a kid, I miss that part being a toggle option because I liked the bloody griminess of it. I mean, maybe it's because I skew, only like 4 or 5 years younger than like the average demo that started playing it. But I came up in a time of skate culture when it was also all about the bumps and bruises, to where even like there were like MTV shows dedicated to that, to where it was also about like the epic fails of it all. So like I miss the blood and some of like the smears and staining. I don't mind that some of the songs are missing. I know in previous ports there have been more songs missing. As long as I have Rage Against the Machine and Goldfinger, I'm 12 years old and eating Hot Pockets, so I'm fine. But a lot of the songs, and especially some of the graphic parts, are a little bit more censored. I did notice listening in that there's certain things that were censored that weren't before, because I used to sing along while I played. And it kind of, you know, like I said, takes away some of like the punkiest and some of the grime aesthetic that I do miss. It's not like detrimental for me, but I do it's a little bit cleaner than I remember it being. But again, it's a game that I really like. Most of my issue is just it has a tie on it. It's grown up and it's like put a long sleeve over its tattoos.
Oh,
much like the Hawkman.
I want to talk
himself.
About that. Yeah. Yes, who turned 50 this year, 52, and he was 31.
You automatically become the man at age 50 or whatever, but but he is a corporation. He's the face of like a brand, essentially.
Because
at this
of
point,
this.
Right?
He's a brand because of this.
The most important Tony Hawk aside from physically skateboarding well, this is it, right? This is his moneymaker, right?
If I had to get real controversial, I'd say this is more important than his skating.
But one couldn't exist without that's the thing.
Of course.
You know, the thing
if you're asking me to prioritize them in terms of importance, the video game's more important than the skateboarding. That's what I would say. Could they exist without each other? No, but that's not the question.
Tony Hawk's gonna ollie in here and ollie you in the face.
I
can't remember the names of any of the tricks now that we're recording.
He's gonna kickflip my ass.
Talk about like the fact that he's even talked about in the first place, which was like, A, he's the first person that you can really think of that took skateboarding to the mainstream, and B, he landed a lot of like the original tricks that people even know the names of. Like he's like the first documented 900.
Yes, but the really cool ones, the ones that you like, the kick tricks and everything, those are all
Sean
Rodney Mullen. FYI,
Rodney Mullen, that's his name.
Yeah,
not
Rodney
Sean
Mullen is fucking chill. Go watch videos of Rodney Mullen.
Obviously, I'm way out of my depth, but I know enough to always pick Mullen. Or that at least all my friends fought over Mullen, so I also wanted to be Mullen. Like I know that Mullen's the cool one.
I want to come back to something you said when we get into the actual game on section, Vanessa, because. So I'll leave it at that. But I want to start with what you said about it being sanitized, because that's really fascinating to me. Mike,
too bad
I think
we're
it's your turn.
The pipe to Mike, because it's rant time. Player 3, logging on. What else is left to say about THPS 1 plus 2? Basically, I agree with everything you guys said. I probably have played it the least of y'all. My top franchises would definitely be Smash Brothers and Fallout. I'm not sure which would win, but somewhere one of those definitely would win. I sometimes think it's Enter the Gungeon, but I've fallen off, so I think one of those. And those are both, well, Smash Brothers is party oriented, so let's lean into that. I did have this experience. I definitely had a period and a time with my friends where it was the game. I think, Adam, in your rant, you compared it to GoldenEye, and that's the most comparable experience to me and Smash Brothers, because they were the go-to party games, and Halo 2. So those were the four party games that basically comprised my childhood split-screen / LAN party experience, and it eventually slowly became all about Smash Brothers all the time. All the way through college, it was all Smash Brothers. Although we took a pause to be all about Rock Band for one season, then we dropped that. But there's something very special about Tony Hawk in that I hate simulators. I don't super care about skating culture or as a sport, and I certainly am not gonna do it in real life, and yet the game is really fun, and I don't think the credit goes to Tony Hawk, because he's just the guy who can do it with his meat machine in life, but we're talking about the medium of gaming, And that's impressive, right? But I think it actually is a monument insofar as it made me, who doesn't care about skating and can't remember the names of the tricks or the players, be like, I really, really into Tony Hawk for a long time and wanting to get good and being competitive about it for several years with my friends and it being the go-to party game and loving it, because it's more, they really, really just found and pioneered, I think, the perfect way to translate that particular subset of physical movements into controller inputs. And there's no other important skating game because they kind of nailed it. Like, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
I agree that all the other skating games are just sort of doing the same thing, because skating doesn't get more complicated than that. They nailed it. That's it. That's how it should control. That's what the focus should be, is combo chains in this specific way. And I'm sure Adam and Vanessa can speak more to the innovation of the manual and how that makes everything about the game, like, for top tier play. It's crazy to me that Adam says he goes for all the treats in one run, because people who don't know, you get like 2 to 3 minute runs, or always 2 minute, I forget. Mm-hmm. And you basically try to achieve a checklist of fancy, which is so ingenious. It's not just tricks like do a 720, do a 900, do 5 ollies, do 1 ollie and then a backwards ollie. But instead it's stuff like, you know, jump from the dumpster to the helicopter blade.
But do
it
Madonna air. Madonna aired over that gap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all unique, or like grind 9 rails before the time's up. Adam, I only ever achieve, if I'm lucky, one of those in a run. I think of the runs as an attempt at one of those things.
Well,
it's crazy that you achieve them
not,
all.
I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt your rant, but I know that's not strictly speaking true, because if you get a 6 score, you get the pro score and then the whatever the medium one is that I forget, medium score. Right?
Sure, maybe 1 to 3 things. I'll knock off my shopping list and feel really good about it. So screw you, sir. But no, you earned it. That's all I really want to say, other than that I think the implementation of the soundtrack, now I need to check my work here. Is this pre or post GTA 3?
Before.
Before.
Yeah, then GTA 3 came out in the very early 2000s.
Then I'm going to double fucking down. I think there's something to be said about the lineage of Tony Hawk Pro Skater in the bringing of quote-unquote real music to video games. Everyone thinks of GTA 3, the radio station, because it's a perfect implementation, as like, holy shit, you can listen to I Ran So Far Away or whatever. I'm thinking of Vice City. But Tony Hawk Pro Skater is the very first game I remember being like, these are real songs. Oh, my God. Maybe Crazy Taxi in the arcade, but those are essentially simultaneous, in my mind at least. That's my rant. I could have ended on a flub that might not be true about Crazy Taxi. But anyway, it deserves credit for the soundtrack, and we'll get into it in our next segment.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. on demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Called something.
Game on.
I was going to say It, which is from Kings of King, our other podcast. We do too many podcasts, man.
So much content for our listeners to enjoy. Well,
we used to make videos, but then there was a pandemic.
look at you sadding all over this podcast. Just casting your sad all over it. Hey, Mike, just to get us started on the Game On section, I just want you to know Tony Hawk. Tony Hawk replaced the need for Sonic the Hedgehog, and I'm not being a troll when I tell you that.
Meaning the game or the character? The feeling in your heart.
The feeling. Yes, the feeling. That's correct.
Really? Oh, yes. You're saying because it's actually extreme and cool, and Sonic was fake kid bullshit extreme.
That's
cool.
That's exactly what Tony Hawk did.
It's
Tony
true.
Hawk achieved the thing Sonic was trying to do for 10 years.
Skateboarding is actually cool.
Yeah, and it's the same fluid motion with speed and height and everything else. And it's
Shadow
like,
the Hedgehog would like a word.
And well, it will get its true. Ass fucking stomped on that gap. Because like,
well, but it's
Tony Hawk did this.
That 3D Sonic, often some of the best in Sonic Adventure phase, like some of the best moments in that where you feel like, oh, it feels like the old games. I feel like that fluidity of Sonic. You're going forward down a tube instead of, like, it's literally a half pipe in some of the bonus rounds.
Yeah.
That's just interesting to me. The connections between how Sonic moves and how a skater in Tony Hawk moves are totally there. You bastard. I didn't want it to be true.
And I don't say that to like... that's actually in some ways kind of tipping the hat to what Sonic means, because like Sonic means like Sonic is the rad fast thing, right? But Tony Hawk so thoroughly owned that in the public eye that we didn't need another cultural thing in video games to do it anymore. And like, I'm trying to think, did we even do it again after Tony Hawk? Like, you know, F-Zero, I guess. Like,
Other stuff is cool. Mm-hmm. Or what do you mean? The idea of like extreme coolness? All kinds of shit.
Devil May Cry is like that. It's the fusion of speed and height and like that sort of fluid, smooth motion with a rad culture. I feel like Tony Hawk kind of took that away.
The game I've been playing all Christmas.
I'm ready.
Spider-Man, Miles Morales.
Yeah. It's got the like burrow.
I played it. I like it a lot.
Culture.
But it's not the same as Tony Hawk.
What about fucking, God damn it. What's the name of the, it's the other cyberpunk game that came out. Ghostwire Tokyo, that's coming out, but something about a ghost. And you run around in first person and you slash people with katanas and it's one hit and you die and you got a chain parkour together.
Oh,
and slash
Shadows
people
of
with a...
the Ghost of...
Ghost of Tsushima, not at all.
There we go.
Completely unrelated. But I'm just saying it's a game that captures that.
I'm not saying so does my friend Pedro.
Wait, let me stop you.
I'm not saying that there aren't games like this.
He's already dead. Leave him alone.
I'm saying that Tony Hawk is the one that killed Sonic. That's what happened. Tony Hawk, I'm telling you, after Tony Hawk, we didn't need the same kind of like fusion of experiences. Are there other ones like it? Totally there are.
Katana Zero.
Yeah. But I'm pointing it out because I think it does matter in the video game timeline. Being the rad game matters in the video game timeline. And I feel like Tony Hawk kind of took that belt from Sonic. You know, I'm sure somebody's going to come with a bunch of obscure
examples. Incidentally, the other game's called Ghost Runner. It did just come out recently and it's good.
And is it Tony Hawk good?
It reminds me of Sonic. It reminds me, it's the same feeling of speed and chaining combos together into a perfect run. But it sounds like that's not what you're, that will not disprove your
I think I figured
hypothesis
out
anyway.
How to word for me what you're trying to articulate. In a way that
the
does make sense,
groping
despite
blindly at like
the fact that I love Sonic. Sonic does not make me feel like I have pizza rolls. Tony Hawk makes me feel like I have pizza rolls.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Sonic doesn't make you feel like you have pizza rolls. I'm walking off this podcast. God damn it, you guys!
Now I didn't prepare for this level of
Sonic
rancor for
punk.
Sonic. No, it isn't. That's exactly the thing.
Up.
No, that's exactly. You just said exactly the thing that I needed to jump over and clear to get
Sonic
clear of
punk.
This point.
Sonic is punk.
Sonic isn't punk.
Sonic
and
is
Tony
punk.
Hawk, when it came out, was closer to punk, and it did all the things that we liked about Sonic experience wise better.
I felt Knuckles is punk. I felt naughty playing Tony Hawk. I was young enough that I felt like I wasn't supposed to play Tony Hawk, especially because of the blood. But there were other games I felt like I shouldn't play. Night Trap has come up on this podcast before.
Of course. There were animated porn games. This isn't the King of Dirt, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just saying it bears that sort of teen punk crown, that championship belt that matters in video games, where it's like it's the cool, naughty game, and it's also fun and fast and all those things. And that leads me to my second point, which is I think that it's possible, Vanessa, that you grew and Tony Hawk did not, and that's why you're disappointed with this adaptation. I'm serious.
No, it's actually something I thought about a lot. I thought about it a lot because anytime I play a game that's been remastered to something, not only do I like playing it because I visit something familiar, but I also get to have like a little bit of an introspective journey with myself. And like I like to see where I am now and why I liked something. Maybe back in a point where I wanted something escapist or something that I can play while I hang out with friends versus like being more immersed into something now. Like I've been playing a lot of the remake of like Katamari Damacy, and it's a great port. And it makes me feel the same. And the thing is, like, again, I love 1 and 2, but I think there's something just like really fundamental of the experience sitting down with it, where it's like the game did grow up a little bit. Like immediately the first thing that I can think of where it like the game did grow up is the character selector, because you don't have like 3 skin types and 1 like gender
it's
to go.
More
that's
robust,
true.
For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's more grown up. The creative park is more grown up, right down to the lighting. The lighting hits surfaces in this game that's like more immersive and clean and beautiful than it's ever been before. But there's something so different to sitting down and not seeing that like gnarly, disgusting Neversoft logo.
Yes.
Just the eyeball through the spike, and like there's a noticeable, I don't want to say lack of grime, but I want to say like a friendlier grime than there used to be before.
So let me
grime a trick?
No, grime is like just an aesthetic, right?
No, I'm just wondering if grime's the name of a trick.
It gotta
sounds
be.
Sounds like grime.
Grime air? Yeah, gotta be. Like throwing up on your board and then throwing it down and landing on it? That's probably a trick. Why not?
Yeah.
That could be a trick.
Okay, Adam, you go, then I'll go.
Yeah, forgive
I also
me.
Have a thing based on that.
So like, I want to do something that's epistemologically impossible, which is to say, I feel like the comparison you're making is true, and yet it doesn't matter in terms of the experience, because the experience of it back then was just as beautiful as the experience of it now is. So like when it's like, oh, it looks so good and like it's so flashy and like it's and like all those smooth things, that's how it felt to you in 1999. Maybe not you, but to the second person, you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think it really is delivering the same emotional experience. It's just that it's updated for this sensibility. Now, I can't take away from, and I agree with your point about the skin creator and all that stuff. And it is more sanitized, but also the original game's not that edgy, really. It's not really that edgy. Like, it was also very corporate.
So you're saying Sonic is nowhere near as edgy as Tony Hawk, who's not even edgy.
Not really. No, it's not truly edgy.
More
it's
insulting. What is edgy to you, Adam? What's an edgy video game according to you, Dumplin'?
Thank you for asking. Dumplin'. What's an edgy video game? I would say games, honestly, Cyberpunk is edgier. I would also say, which for better or for worse, it's edgier.
Is Stanley Parable edgy?
I don't know that game that well.
Okay. Forget I said. Tell me when you're done, because I have a new thing and I don't want to take away from
Let me actually just think about that and come back to you about it. The point being that I think you have to judge this remake on the basis of, is it delivering an experience for this audience, meaning people who've already played it and new people to it in today's language that's similar, like very similar or not, to the original. And I think in that respect, it is. Like, it's pretty great in that respect. Because if you deliver it, like, I kind of wish it had the thing that Halo, that Master Chief Collection has, which is you can push a button and see what it used to look like. That's the thing that, like, that the Halo adaptations have done when they've, like, remastered them. You can push a button and you're like, that's what Halo 1 looks like.
Old school graphics, yeah.
Yeah, that looks like fucking garbage. That's not how it used to look in my mind. Yeah, because that's all, like, you experienced the game as cutting edge when it came out. Now it looks like dog shit. And I would argue the blood was always harmless because the music, everything about the game was ultimately harmless. It was always very silly. And this game is sort of embracing that and like true to its core. Like, I don't think the blood mattered that much, but I'm here to be argued with if you disagree.
I think, like, for me personally, again, a lot of elements that, like, I really like. And, in fact, there's even some where they, like, added a tone of grit, specifically the mall. The mall looks more post-apocalyptic than it used to do. And even, like, the censored songs, because I know, like, especially now where you're trying to, like, reach a wider audience. But the blood does feel that important to me, not so much on, like, a gameplay aspect, but on just someone that grew up loving and watching skateboarding. Blood, no, yes. Like,
that's interesting.
Buckets and buckets,
but you have a known lust for blood that's insatiable. That's not really. Yeah, that's different.
But, like, I do have a blood lust. But also on the end of, like, someone that, like, really dug skateboarding.
You feel like injury culture is, like, part of the thing, right?
It's a little bit part of a thing.
Yes,
it's a little
bit.
It
has to be.
It's really part of a thing. Both, like, sharing stories of, like, injuries or bumps or, like, a lot of the times when I was following someone around with the camera, it was usually, like, I tried so hard and I, like, fucked myself up over and over again to land this move or land this trick. But in the end, it's worth it despite, like, the bumps and the bruise and the scrapes and
because I
blood.
Landed it.
Because they landed it. Because they did it. It's the same way that I watch sports where somebody is so willing to, like, put their bodies on the line because they have something in their head that they know they can do if they just, like, get their body to catch up with what their head is going with.
Yeah.
And it's even when you, like, watch older skate videos and seeing those moments brought in, it makes the triumph so much better. It's you know, you really did put, like, blood, sweat, and tears into it. And so that model being in the game, especially for somebody that, like, again, didn't have any of the core balance needed to skate was like, all right, I'm in it. I'm also, like, trying over and over again to land this thing, and now it's worth it. Like, especially in Underground, where you can see some of the staining, you can see your efforts. You could see the smears on the ground that are like, you haven't landed it, but you're gonna. And when you do, it's so much more worth it.
So you don't want to just be a tourist of a skill that you lack. You want to also pretend that you share in the catharsis of the struggle that it took to gain that skill.
Yeah, plug
you
me
want
in, baby.
It all from your simulator. Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, if I'm going to pretend that I actually know how to skateboard, give me the whole enchilada, the injuries, everything. I get that.
I think the game designers, by the way, agree with you, Vanessa, because there's a reason they didn't add Tony Hawk 3. To this, and this is what they said. They didn't add 3 because they did not feel they could realistically render Bam Margera, specifically him. So that tells you that they think that he, number one, he's famous, but number two, I think the injury culture is a part of it. You know what I mean? Because, like, that's what he represents. I would say he represents that, among other things. So that's interesting. I would also say though, maybe it's because it was harder when we were younger and hadn't played games of this type. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't that hard to do in 2020? Did you find it as hard to play in 2020?
To be cool or to play the game?
To achieve the tricks. Oh, you did? Okay.
In a way, that was fun.
I find the game really hard. Yeah. I'm not good at it. Yeah,
okay. I found it as difficult in a way that like felt true to the original system because I never got amazing. It always was like a little bit of work for me in a way that I found fun. But it was hard for me. I did have some moments where I had to be like, honey, can you get the tea? and
amazing.
That's an element of it that I also missed, whether it was like an older sibling or someone in the next room that you had to be like, yo, I'm stuck on this part. Can you help me like work through it? It was an element of it that I did also really miss without realizing it, because I think a lot of games, especially now, especially in quarantine, don't really think about like the communal aspect of it. But especially for like going in and taking like as many turns as you can and trying to like complete this run, it was a pretty communal game. Like even if there wasn't multiple players, it's a game where it's very easy to pass the controller around. The soundtrack adds to like the hangout culture of it. Like the second I started playing it in the next room, my husband was like, I don't know why, but I feel 14 and hyped. And it's because Goldfinger was playing and,
yeah,
you know,
of course. Yeah.
Superman gives us all 14-year-old energy. But it has a way of drawing people to like, whether it be actually like play or tag in or listen to the music or just watch someone else play, because it's not that far off from watching skate videos too. So it's like a pretty communal game in a way that a lot of things aren't anymore.
Yeah, let's talk. Okay, because the soundtrack came up, so let's talk about the soundtrack now. I keep referencing a chunk I have, and I'll save it for the final segment. I think I can encapsulate it quickly. So I'll making mental note, remember what you're going to say about that other thing. But let's move into talking about the soundtrack, because I think that was a big thing that, as I referenced in my rant, made it seem real and cool. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about real skate culture, so I'm like, this checks out as far as, I bet skateboarders listen to this music. This feels like the music skateboarders would listen to. Yeah. And so to refresh people's memories, I got the list up here. And to make it a little more entertaining, I suggest you imagine that these are Twitter handles, because you'd be amazed how many 90s punk bands would make great Twitter handles now. So who was on there? Billy Talent, underrated band/Twitter handle. Chick Norris, that would definitely be a Twitter handle. Destroy Boys, Fiddlar, Less Than Jake, Machine Gun Kelly, Pew, that would be a Twitter handle for sure. Screaming Females. Were they in the original or just in the remake? Because they changed some tracks in and out.
I don't always remember the names of the bands. I remember the songs.
Sublime,
not even the titles
Anthrax,
of the songs.
Bad Religion, Dead Kennedys. Yeah. You know, so it was like a who's who of acceptable punk music. And I mean, it's, Adam, your point is well taken, which is why I reacted so over the top against it, because I actually basically agree with you. Like, I understand that Sonic is fake edgy. I know. Let's drop that facade so that I can say the same thing about these punch band, these punk bands. You know, they are not, because my brother's into edgy punk, where it's like, I appreciate wide range of music, and I am like, I don't understand. It's just one sound. It's just a guy going, it's, okay, here's our next track. And
ooh, there's the EP.
I would call this mid-tier punk, where it's like, it's recognizably music, even to a lame-o. You know what I mean?
It's corpo punk, dude.
It's mom, get it's out of corpo. My room punk.
Yeah, this is corpo, baby. This
and
is
I love 90s corpo, mom, get out of my room punk. It's,
that's what it is.
Unironically, it's our disco. It's like, it's lame, but it's great.
It's like every time I hear the Ernies, Here and Now, that song's
the
really
Swing
dumb.
The Otters, my God.
But I love it. Like, it's dumb, but I love it, right? Like, and I feel that way about all the music on it. There's a few bands that are like, oh, they're actually a little edgy even. Like, they're actually a little edgy. And I think Rage is one of those.
That's
like,
because
Rage
everyone,
feels like actual anger. It's like, oh, okay.
Rage is an actual very, eloquent elucidation of the systemic plight of the oppressed. But people who don't care about that, just didn't listen to their lyrics, which is like easy to do.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it always comes across. We never get to do this with music, so forgive me. But I just want to say, of the list, my two favorites are, yeah, you gotta throw some shine on Bad Religion. I love Bad Religion. They're the punk band with the most ridiculously over-the-top vocabulary, completely unnecessary.
Oh, yeah.
They have lyrics like, though we recognize the sacred sense of moiety, whatever. And then, so I love them for their vocab. And then Billy Talent is wildly underrated. Do you guys know Billy Talent?
I love Billy Talent.
Yes.
They have at least a dozen fantastically catchy punk songs.
Who are
your guys' favorites from this list, from the OST of THPS?
God, I mean, I love me some Billy Talent, but the Billy Talent that I love isn't on here. But I think
I
my two favorite songs on it that I will defend forever are CKY's 96 Quite Bitter Beings, I Don't Care Who You Are, that guitar riff is dope as hell, and also just kind of speaks to like the little loop that Tony Hawk formed with both like Jackass and just all of those guys knowing in each other and just being in each other, whether it be like Bam and Tony Hawk or like Tony Hawk in the first Jackass movie. It just kind of a little loop between skate culture in there. So definitely that one. And then I'm going to defend Power Man 5000 forever, and I have.
Thank you. Thank you. It's horrible, and I love you for saying that.
I love it. I love when worlds collide. It makes sense. Like, he and Rob Zombie are just, like, two different, like, genre dorks that present themselves edgier than they actually are. It makes sense that they're related. One just really likes horror, and the other one really likes sci-fi, and the sci-fi stuff is fun as hell, and I love when worlds collide.
I'm not going to defend any of these artists as their own.
And everyone knows Superman by Goldfinger, so we have to mention it. We're obliged.
No, we don't have to mention it. We have to praise
oh, really?
It because it rules.
Oh, okay.
It's
yeah,
the
yeah,
best.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's everyone's favorite. I remember at IGN, it was a big deal when they announced, like, we got it. Goldfinger's on the soundtrack.
It is the most, like, that is the Tony Hawk song. Like, that's
oh, yeah.
the one,
yeah.
I would
Definitely.
Say. Like, and, like, I don't like Goldfinger. Do you guys like Goldfinger?
I don't like that song. That's not the song I even most associate with the game. It's decent.
I'm just going to put it to you. This is what I'm getting at. It's like, I don't like any of these artists that much on their own, with a couple of exceptions. Most of them I'm not, like, going to pop in the sound, like, pop in their record and check them out, because they're not really my type of music. But I love them, as part of this game.
You heard it
like,
here.
I'm not going to...
Adam hates A Tribe Called Quest.
I'm actually not a big Tribe Called Quest
hey!
Fan. Yeah, I'll say it. It's
fuck,
okay.
Fuck Sonic, but Tribe Called Quest, come on, man.
See, I legitimately like a lot of these bands. I got broken up with at a Real Big Fish concert.
That's amazing.
They came to our college frequently, so I've seen them a lot. That makes me like them.
Yeah, Real Big Fish is very fun as a band. Like they're fun at being a band.
Sublime.
There's a lot
the
of
Ataris.
There's a lot. Of,
there's
yeah,
good shit in here.
There is. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying I'm not as attracted to it, independent of this experience.
Yeah.
But I love it as part of this experience. Like Power Man 5000. I hate that artist, but I love hearing that song on this in this context because it's perfect. It's like, and also, I mean, I haven't said this yet, but Vanessa mentioned she grew up in Orange County. So did I. I also grew up in Orange County, and I also tried to skate when I was a teenager and was also not capable of doing it. And this also met a wish fulfillment for me. So all this stuff like transports me right back to 1994. Like that's when I was trying to do that and horrible at ollieing and horrible at kick flipping and watching my friend get his teeth knocked out trying to ollie a set of stairs at the mall.
Oh God.
Definitely saw that. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We all did it. You know what I mean? And this is part of that. And I think that's what makes Tony Hawk so smart is that it wasn't all the current jams.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't pick the current jams. They picked the good jams that felt like fun for that era.
Yeah.
And guess what? They've aged well.
But they also didn't pick a broad sampling of jams. They were very specifically like accessible corpo punk is skateboarding. That's our assertion. And you're like, I can ride with that. That feels true, even to people who aren't into skateboarding. I see, like, that pair's fine. Sure.
But, like, in 1999, Naughty by Nature was not a cool rap act anymore. Primus was not a cool band anymore in 1999.
Well, like, I don't know. South Park not really. Didn't bring them back? This interest in Primus back?
As an artist? No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that maybe that song.
Sure.
But the point being, like, this wasn't like, let's find the coolest stuff available. Here's NSYNC.
The kids, you know, aren't, I mean, still, like, rocking they didn't out to Lagwagon.
Right, but that's why it still matters, because it was the right stuff for this game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was classics of the genre. Like, if there was an appropriate approximation where you had to pick jazz, and they picked a bunch of Miles Davis stuff from, like, the 60s and some John Coltrane.
Ooh.
And some other, you know what I mean? And it would be, it wouldn't be the hippest thing in the world, but it would last forever.
Dude,
because it fits, and it's the classics.
Cat jamming on some Charlie Parker. What track? Well, you're gathering the letters SKATE. Yeah. I dig it, Daddy-O.
Skate Daddy's got another one to lay on you. Cyberpunk has
a jazz station. Oh, I'm aware.
And it's chill positive. It is fucking positive for chill.
But I was just about to say, to compare it to Cyberpunk, because they actually did something the exact opposite, but the same. Meaning they have all real music, but they went out of their way and paid a lot of money to get notable artists who are hot right now to record new tracks just for Cyberpunk. And as
and
a result,
dumb.
None of them are familiar, and it costs more money. I would take Vice City's radio over Cyberpunk's radio. Like, I wish I could port it in. I would take the Tony Hawk soundtrack. I'd take the Crazy Taxi soundtrack. So it is. I have reverted to that jazz station, and I actually think it's kind of a big misstep. But that's for the Cyberpunk.
I think the music in
but
Cyberpunk
is great. But it speaks to the strength
great.
Of this. It's great music, but I'm not. It's exactly what you're saying. Tony Hawk does well. I wanted. Now that's what I call music. Early 2000s. Like, I want it to capture a time and place. I wanted it to just be 80s bullshit, like in cars or whatever
cyberpunk
means to them. But I wanted it to play on familiarity, not be the latest shit from Billie Eilish that was made just for this.
Yes,
well, I'm
I
trying
agree.
To dodge bullets on the... Speaking of punk, maybe life is like... maybe what is it? A ride on a freeway. Dodging bullets while you're trying to find your way. That's Offspring.
But just to be clear, there were some fresh tracks
this
on
is like my
Tony
worst
Hawk
episode
too.
Ever. I'm crazy in this episode.
No. So there. First of all, no, you're not. You're beautiful every episode. Bless yourself, baby, because you are. Number two, Tony Hawk 2 did have some fresh cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Rage Against the Machine's record was a fresh cut at the time, I believe.
Then they had good taste.
Like Tony Hawk 3, for instance, which is the one I played the most, had a Ramones song, Blitzkrieg Bop, and it had Ace of Spades, My Motorhead. None of those were new, and they were fucking awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like
I distinctly remember those two, actually.
Yeah, because they were great songs, and they fit the vibe. Like, they were fun to listen to. So games should learn from this when they want to have a chill fucking soundtrack. And I think even movies could learn from this. Don't pick the new stuff. Pick the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like some of it might be new, but like don't be afraid to put Charlie Parker with fucking Lagwagon if it fits your movie or your game or whatever.
Yeah, that's how you get evergreen. You know?
Yeah. Ooh, thank you. You're absolutely right. Can I bring up one other? It's a mildly esoteric point, but I definitely want to make it because I think it really matters. So I'm
no
going to do that.
No one's stopping you.
Thank you. Thank God. Finally.
Finally, once. Everybody
finally,
gets
I can
one.
Manual to this rooftop and keep on grinding, baby. So,
don't say anything I can pun off of, or I will bring the proceedings to a fucking halt. So you be careful.
So, the genius of Tony Hawk is not any of the things that we mentioned. The genius of Tony Hawk, in my opinion, is that it knows how far above reality to take skating for it to be fun. It knows how much game to make out of skating, which is why the sequel Skate was a mistake, because Skate was like, what if it was more realistic? And it's like, no, man, realistic skating is hard and it hurts. And this is what I want skating to be. Right. It's the same thing as like whenever you get a first person shooter that tries to be a Call of Duty adjacent game, but with like more realistic guns and stuff, they're not as good. Because Call of Duty knows how to gamify shooting a real, quote-unquote, real gun. And Tony
Hawk...
Right,
but you're still a bullet sponge, because otherwise it would suck.
Right, of course, exactly. Like, it's the amount of game you want. And mm-hmm. Tony Hawk was exactly the amount of game that we wanted out of skating. And when they abandoned that idea, the series tanked. Like, that's... Like they got it right the first time. And this sequel reminded me of that because there were little touches that, and see, this is why maybe I feel the opposite of Vanessa. There were touches that were like also like winking at the fact that it knew how much game you wanted. For instance, when you crash, you warp into the ready position. You don't watch the guy get up and all that shit. You don't do that because it's like, it's a game, baby. It's just a game. Right.
Like,
and it's like, you're right. It is a game. And I like that. That's what I always liked about Tony Hawk. So maybe we differ there, but I want to shout that out about this franchise because it's a massive achievement in gaming to know how much we want. Mm-hmm. And they did that.
No, totally. And like, mm-hmm. I feel like the rewind element is one that I've actually spent like an inordinate time thinking about. Because I do appreciate like the nostalgia aspect of like early skate tapes where you rewind it back to where the person started. And as much as like, again, I miss the elements of like taking a while to get up, I do appreciate that they found a nod to like skate tapes that also doesn't mm-hmm. feel so up its own ass with nostalgia that like a person who's never touched a VHS wouldn't look at that and be like, what the hell is happening? To where they're just like, oh, cool, nod, I get it. Or, you know, it's a really seamless way of bringing someone back from point B to point A while adding style to it.
Sorry, a brief moment of No Cigar by Millen Collin played in my headphones because I'm still on the page with the soundtrack.
I was and just damn, listening dude, to that.
I got hyped.
I love No Cigar.
I
yeah,
really
want
to skate now.
It's so hype.
Auto played a little bit of it. Yeah.
I also liked the song I Can't Surf, which was on Tony Hawk 3. I just kind of missed it on this one. Like, I can't surf. It was so good, and I loved it. Anyway, please, go ahead.
No, of all the shit that could have randomly played, No Cigar is actually one of the better ones on the soundtrack. I just think it's notable that, and this is my long-promised chunk of thought that I've had, on to, and somehow didn't forget. Isn't that crazy? That's a podcasting accomplishment. I remember a thing I was going to say 40 minutes ago, and it is this. I think we especially have to take into consideration, shine light on the fact that it is coming at a time of unprecedented production of remakes and remasters, and it's an interesting meta conversation to talk about some of the things in that area. Like, obviously you have the high profile ones like Final Fantasy VII Remake, which is very interesting because I agree with Adam about the relative nature of graphical impressiveness. Like, Final Fantasy VII OG, the cutscenes, I remember them as more impressive then I am impressed by Final Fantasy VII Remake,
which
graphics,
is incredible.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, totally
Final
incredible.
Fantasy VII looks like dog shit. I remember telling my friends, my little kid friends, well, they've reached graphical, like the uncanny valley's over. It looks like real life. The fucking like Aerith with the flower basket in the beginning of FF7. But you know, you talk about that, and then packaging is also a whole nother aspect because this is two games in one, and like Nintendo recently did something they almost never do, which was release a bunch of Mario platformers all together in one package, but they got a little flack for not improving or altering or adding any options, really. Like, they just took the code and copy and pasted mm-hmm. them. Like, you might buy a DVDs bundled in a Best Buy bin. They were just like, here's three games you can't get access to. They cost this much. Good tactic. But in that, and then of course, there's games that I can't think of examples, but they exist. I forget their names because they're mediocre. Mediocre cash grabs. Streets of Rage 4 comes to mind. The new Battletoads game.
Oh boy.
Where people
yeah.
are just trying to cash in on a license. And so you have to be more wary than ever, I think, of remakes and re-releases. And it's very easy for a team working on a re-release right now at this time in gaming to not try hard And they tried hard, and it's very elegantly packaged. It's like super well put together.
Yeah.
And it impresses me in the way Blue Point, who are known for, they did the Shadow of the Colossus and then the Dark Souls remake. Like, there's this new field of development teams that will probably never make an original game. Like, Blue Point will probably just keep making these lovingly, because gaming's finally old enough that it's like people who grew up loving the game Shadow of the Colossus are now remaking it 25 years later with loving attention to every blade of grass. And that's really cool because it's also about the dawning, like the nascent dawning consciousness of video game archival as an art form, right? Like, gaming's such a fresh medium, it's this sort of an open question of how much backwards compatibility is part of this question. How much will society enshrine the history of gaming? Will I still be able to play Tetris in 1,000 years because it was quote unquote important, or will it be forgotten to time? And we're starting to see some of the beginning steps of how we archive data, how games will exist or be encoded or carried on as a tradition. And I think this is a really cool, it just deserves some like meta credit for being a remake that cares. You can tell they tried.
More so than a lot of remakes I've played.
Yeah.
100%. One slightly cynical point to make, just like a little pork barrel cynicism to add to this. Don't be surprised if Tony Hawk 5 or 6 or whatever it is pops into your timeline in the next year or two because of the success of this.
I play it and it's garbage, probably.
Maybe it's great. I don't care. Like, it's definitely an attempt to, I think it's an attempt to reboot that franchise.
Fucking thing is, right? We're making one, but if it's a hit, we'll make nine. Who cares?
Right. Yeah. And I'm here to tell you, this old bear is ready to line up for every single one of those Tony Hawks, as long as they keep it the way that it was done. Like, they don't fuck with it. Just give us new levels, give us new skaters, give us new punk, and we're going to do this shit.
If you want two upsmanship, three upsmanship, you just let us know. We will keep...
I'm just saying, that's definitely coming, right? Like,
we'll spread ourselves so thin, you won't even recognize us.
Upsmanship?
1+2 upsmanship. Thups, Vanessa. That deserves some thups.
It does. That was thups up for sure.
Speaking of three thups up, should we move into our final segment? Or does did I just cut Adam off at a crucial
You did, but you know what, juncture. Man? I'm one of those guys, I could loop... I could loop my comments forever, just like gold fingers. So let's move on, you know?
Sure.
Hell yeah.
I think it's a great pairing that punk songs are about 2 minutes and Tony Hawk runs are about 2 minutes. That really, really works. I guess I'll go first since I did that.
But we are, just for the editor's note, we're moving to keep or delete. And you just heard a sweet sound effect.
You did. And it is. And... I'll keep it because I do think, and that's why I'm actually glad that chunk floated to the bottom, as all my great ideas do, because they are similar to healthy feces. I think that I will keep THPS 1+2 specifically because of what I blah, blah, blah said about the meta aspect of it being a substantial landmark in the archival of a genre that was perfected almost upon its inception and hasn't been approved upon since, which is, like, if you're going to be an alien and play any skateboarding game whatsoever, what the fuck else are you going to play? It's this. So I'll keep it for that reason. I think it's a very laudable project.
Hell yeah, dude. Right?
What about you, Vanessa?
Keeping it for, it's of historical note.
I'm keeping it for so many reasons. This is one of those things where I can confidently say it's not just nostalgia goggles, because I've played a lot of stuff for the sake of nostalgia, and they often taste like ash in my mouth.
Love it.
They often
love
just
so
make
much.
Me like real sad, or they're just not great, or they're like, you know what? I remembered this differently. And this isn't any of that. This is not only like a perfect port, like you can really tell that they went back and consulted some of the original Neversoft developers on this, but it's a beautiful game. It's just a beautiful game with a ton of gameplay that really lends itself for more playability, because like eventually you will be able to have people over and you can have those like sessions that you used to. It's one of the few where you don't even have to have like your gamer friends over to play. It could honestly just be anyone. And in terms of just like gaming history, which is something that I'm like actively thinking about more, and what things caused these important footnotes that made gaming more mainstream, that made it something that you can have like podcasts about, that made it something where there's entire conventions for. Tony Hawk is one of those things. It's one of those things that put it in everyone's hands, and just having it on hand makes me happy.
100%.
Yeah, for the record, just to tag to my, I think I have to be the lone voice to say, I the reason I base my argument on historical note, I don't find it that fun. I find it too hard.
Oh.
And too technical.
Interesting.
That's why I was glad we had both of you guys, but I just needed to register like a party pooper. But I find it too difficult, but I appreciate it.
That's chill. Skate Daddy is gonna green light this one all the way to the moon
if
and back.
You deleted it.
No, I can never delete it. But I'll tell you this: I do think that the game designers owe us the ability to view the game as it used to look. And I'll tell you why. I think it's important.
Do you think that's true? Sorry, but I gotta know. Do you think that's true across the board? Would you put that toggle on every remake or remaster?
If possible, yes, I would.
Wow.
The reason why is that, I mean, for our purposes on one-upsmanship, to say that I'm going to keep this means I'm not going to keep Tony Hawk 2, and I'm not going to keep Tony Hawk 1. I'm going to keep this instead of those things, which is why, because this is an attempt to sort of archive those things, it should include what it used to be. Like, it should include that because, number one, it makes us appreciate what the remake is. Number two, it allows us to have the original experience as it was if we want to. You know, like, I just think that's a thing that we should really do more with remakes if we can. Also, I would say if they release a remaster of Tony Hawk 3 that's separate from this and not a DLC to this, I'll be very disappointed in this collection and might reconsider keeping it. Because I think that I'm keeping this because it's a way to archive the great Tony Hawk experience as a whole. If I can't do that, by which I mean I can't include 3, then I would pick Tony Hawk 2 and keep it. Because I think that would be the correct thing to do for the alien's sake. So if there's going to be a Tony Hawk 3, please add it as DLC to this game so that we can have a real collection.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like don't Mario Galaxy to us. You know what I mean? Don't do that shit. Like add all the things that are a collection of what was so that we can have it. I'll pay another $50 or whatever. Fine. I'll do that. But just do it so that we can have one game that's everything Tony Hawk used to be. But yeah, I'm keeping it.
Now I just want nothing more than, and it probably exists, but like a VHS seeming like classic 90s skate video with plenty of injuries, with just crazy jazz clarinet and sloppy drums with like a brush kit and a bunch of cymbals.
Like a Mingus track? Like Mingus track?
I just want, jazz skateboarding is now stuck in my head.
Some
as a
sweet Mingus?
I'm honestly surprised Spike Jonze hasn't done that.
Yeah, that's
sloppy
the right guy for that.
Skateboarding,
you
for
are
sure.
Right.
Yeah. He did that one skate video where all the ramps explode. Like the people jump off the ramp and it immediately explodes in a huge fireball behind them. That's
like,
fun.
Funny enough, I feel like the record Kind of Blue, which is a really chilled out jazz record. If you, any of you who's not jazz listeners, but are like, I'd like to know what jazz to start with, pick up the record Kind of Blue by Miles Davis. It's a perfect introduction to good jazz. And it would be a great record to skate to for sort of an anti-skate energy.
Just crotch playing on a pole too. Yeah.
Yeah, but also just to cruise, cruise around all those lips and bowls and shit and like land super great tricks, and then like Miles Davis is just cruising along, him and Coltrane just cruising along. It's awesome.
Isn't skating
that, you know? Bjork track yoga.
Isn't skating just about the tricks you don't land?
That's true. It's about the space between the ollies.
That was an argument you were making, and we didn't touch on it enough.
How the manual ties the whole room together, so to speak.
Well, no, how it's also about the tricks you don't like the difficulty of connecting with the trick is part of what makes the game fun. I agree, that's what it's designed to be. By the way,
the game is the core of the game is that anxious feeling of how long can I keep this combo going? It threatens to fall apart at any moment. Yeah, for sure.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun. Such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Yeah. That's true.
Okay, now we've touched on every aspect of the game.
Now we've covered it all. Who do you skate with, by the way? Who's your ride or die, Vanessa?
I mean, currently, I'm skating with me in the game because I could finally make her. I've been waiting for an eternity. I've been waiting so fucking long to make someone that looked like me so I could just put the full immersion in. In terms of skaters that I loved, it's a bummer, but I like completely understand why it's not in because of licensing, but I loved skating with Spider-Man. And whatever I could, skating with Bam was another fun one. It was usually also like whatever video I particularly liked that week. And I was like, sweet, they're in Tony Hawk's, I'm playing. But whenever I could, Spider-Man was a really fun one.
They used to have, I say this, we didn't touch on this at all, but Tony Hawk does have a little bit of a sad relationship with the unhoused.
I don't like Ollie the Magic Bum. Not a fan.
Well, you used to be able to play as him.
Yeah, I know.
And they kind of toned that down. You also used to be able to play as a cop, and I do like the relationship they have with the cops.
If you're going to be punk, that's the only thing. You have to at least throw something anti-cop in there. Come on, skateboarding's not a crime.
But then you can also play as a shitty cop, and I think that's very funny.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We've done enough on this game, right? We've done it. We've skated.
We scoted everywhere.
That's right. But I want to hear about kicking and screaming. Can we hear a little about that before we dip out?
Hell yeah. Yeah, kicking and screaming is currently my baby. I'm hosting it with my husband, who's a huge kung fu action martial arts movie freak. He's also a horror nerd. So there's the kicking and the screaming. What we do is we challenge each other to create double features of one horror and one martial arts movie. So one person picks from either genre, and then the other person has to find like what they think a good pairing is. If we have a guest on, they just pick one and we'll come up with like a good pairing for it. So if they pick horror, we pick martial arts and vice versa. Usually in the episodes, we talk about both genres, how people that typically like one or the other will like both, but very rarely is there someone that watches a lot of both, so we're trying to bridge the gap there. We'll also make snack pairings for the ridiculous double features that exist, because we just want to bring back the feelings of like going to the movies with your friends and talking at a Denny's after about why you saw what you saw and why it was rad. Sometimes the pairings work, sometimes they don't. But I've had a lot of fun doing this, and I've watched a lot of stuff that I wouldn't have otherwise. Both like pairings my co-host and I give each other, but also our guests have given me just a lot of treats this year.
It is delightful. That's Kicking and Screaming Pod with Vanessa Guerrero.
Mike was on, and he gave us one of the hardest picks we've ever had.
Oh, yeah. I tossed Eraserhead at you. That was a blast.
Oh, that's right. You're going by Vanessa Guerrero now. I apologize. I introduced you with your old last name.
No, you're good. I still got to make the official name change. It's just tough with the world being shut down.
Oh, that's right. Gritton is tired. Guerrero's wired.
Hardwired,
right.
Baby.
New hotness.
Yeah, you got to go down to probate, get that name change, right?
Yeah, I got to get that name change.
Who? Down there in probate. I know. Sometime I'll tell you about, I used to work next door to a probate clerk's office. Someday I will tell you about the most adventurous name changes I've ever seen.
Oh my God, I want to hear them.
Stories about processing court paperwork are so unpunk that we have to go. That's the end of the episode.
Work complete.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Tired of pickup truck bed chaos? Meet Decked. Game-changing USA-made full bed-length drawers for tools and gear. Waterproof, dustproof, lockable, secure. Whether you're working, hunting, fishing, camping, or just getting out of town. And introducing Decked Deco Cases. Tough, modular, problem-solving cases built for the truck, job site, campsite, or garage. Say goodbye to random bins and tie-downs. Order now at Decked.com/iHeart for free shipping. Decked. Your truck. Your rules. Decked.com/iHeart.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.